Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What's up, Star Fam? You are tuning and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That was a track from Danny Taneglia's album, Back to Basics. That song was Do It Now, and I love that track. I played it for a couple reasons. One, because of our guest tonight, Richard Schulman. He's a master composer and pianist, and I love the piano keys in that song. It's also an awesome CD I've had since 2002, and it is good from beginning to end, so we'll be playing some more of those tracks throughout the rest of the night. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, as always, Jonah Bolt, and today is Friday, September 16th, 2011. And joining me tonight, as I said, is Richard Schulman. He's a composer, a pianist, and recording artist. He's also been recording for almost 20 years now, recorded over 24 albums, first as a jazz musician in New York, and then becoming known as the world's New Age music and music for healing and meditation. He has also performed at Carnegie Hall. He's performed for the United Nations and also a wide variety of other venues. His website is richheartmusic.com. And with that, we're going to go into some updates of one group we've been following for a while called Anonymous. Anonymous is the internet hacker group that is wreaking havoc on the governments of today and the banksters of today. And we've talked about them from time to time. They have an update going out that they're having a mass protest all over the United States tomorrow in all different cities. You can go online to YouTube or Google and Google Anonymous. September 17th, Adbusters and Anonymous are having a barbecue on Wall Street on September 17th. And everyone is invited. It's a potluck, so bring your own blankets and food, but share with your neighbors. And that is going on at Wall Street tomorrow, hosted by Adbusters and Anonymous, and also several protests across the nation. Also, an update on Libya. Who's in Libya right now? British Prime Minister David Cameron and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. The same people who their campaign got paid for by Gaddafi in Libya. They're there to meet with the new leaders and rulers of Tripoli, which in our media has said that has been taken over by the rebels. It has not. And now the British Prime Minister and Sarkozy are there meeting with the quote-unquote new leaders, which the United States and the rest of the world is only recognizing these guys, which they announced a few weeks ago. And now our presidents are – not our president, but the French president and British Prime Minister are there talking with these quote-unquote new rebels. And that is the spin on it. We've been talking about Libya a lot. I'll have this article up on the website. Going into the new news of the week, I have a ton of articles to go through. I have about 15. I'm going to try to get to as many of them as I can because I want to get to Richard. He also did a custom piano piece for the show tonight, and we're going to play that a little later as the second track in the show. It's going to be awesome. And we'll go into the first article, this one titled, Aliens to Come to Earth to Enslave and Eat Humans. Those who think that the first extraterrestrial beings that will establish an official contact with the human race will be friendly creatures like ET are going to be disappointed. NASA scientists say that reasonable inhabitants from other galaxies may come to Earth to destroy our planet because mankind seems to be unable to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This just came out this week from NASA. The article continues. If we took a look at our planet from the outside, the changes the Earth's atmosphere characterize mankind as a civilization that has come out of control. Extraterrestrials believe that the human civilization is dangerous to others, the scientists said. That is why it is quite possible that aliens may strike a preemptive blow on our planet to give us all a wake-up call. That is not going to happen. The article continues. This is only one theory of the future of the human civilization. Researchers also say that aliens may be used as humans, food, or slaves. Also, Sean DeMoggle Goldman and a team of scientists made a whole list of theoretical possibilities and situations to help us choose the tactics of communication with guests from outer space. An alternative variant stipulates that the victory of the human civilization over the invaders and the usage of extraterrestrial technologies, it seems that NASA scientists have a very vivid imagination that could be used for Hollywood blockbusters. This is sort of just setting up a stage for, say, a false alien invasion reported out by NASA. Quote, unquote, just as we did to those beings, those extraterrestrials might proceed to kill, infect, dissect, conquer, displace, or enslave us. Stuff us as specimens for their museums or pickle our skulls and use us for medical research, the scientists wrote in the report. This is NASA writing this. As for the prevalent blow, it can be possible during the earliest stage of expansion of our civilization. Humanity may just now be entering the period in which its rapid civilizational expansion could be directed by the ET because our expansion is changing the composition of Earth's atmosphere, quote-unquote greenhouse gas emissions, which therefore changes the spectral signature of Earth, the study's author says. Aliens will come into contact with humans during the forthcoming 20 years, scientists also said. Interesting. There's a timeline. I haven't seen too many articles with timeline. Truth is, they're already here. They've been here. Our solar system is not a unique place in the universe. Life may appear in many other places of conditions similar to Earth and galaxies all over. One can be certain that life and reason is a common phenomenon in the universe. Duh. During the upcoming two decades, scientists will discover places in our galaxy where life exists, that life will bear a striking resemblance to the life that we represent here, the scientists said. They also went on to say a couple different scenarios, which I'm not going to get into because I want to get through all this, which is also three giant spaceships to attack Earth in 2012. So you might want to read up on that one. Moving along through the article, the next day after this speech at a conference, a curious video titled UFO, Mothership, and Fleet Over London appeared on YouTube, which I did see a couple of the videos. They are pretty real to me. The video also has been removed from the portal, but it can be found on other websites. For example, here. I did not find it on YouTube. I did use the link in the article, so I will post this up on starseedenergyradio.com. The flying saucers appeared above the London office of the BBC. The saucers look like three white spots that form a triangle and fly at a large speed, and two other spots follow the triangle, but there is also a larger object in the sky that moves slower. There's about four different videos on this website from all different angles, and to me, they look legit. Check them out. So a shout-out to, as always, our star fam, the Octorians, the Palladians, Andromedians, and the Galactic Federation of Light for continuously making appearances and giving us the good hope that you are there. Obama ordered to Denver bunker by U.S. military. Now, this is something I just found late last night by one of my friends, DJ Scalar, who we've had on the show before. So shout out to Scalar for sending this over. And this article basically talks about on the 27th of September, which is coming up, which we've also been talking about, the alignment of comet Elenine and a lot of other things we're going to talk about later in the show, some other articles that I found pointing to the end of September. This article talks about Obama being sent to the underground bunker in Denver International Airport. The underground bunker, which they deny is even there. There was actually a couple of shows I saw, I think, on History Channel, and you could see a lot of just YouTube this stuff. There's huge, huge underneath bunker under the airport there, huge military installation complex. So starting on the 27th, it states that the Americans plan to hold a DEFCON 1, quote-unquote, cocked pistol, end quote, maximum readiness alert drill on September 27th, which will be overseen by President Obama at one of the United States' most secure bunkers located beneath the Denver International Airport. Under the SALT Strategic Nuclear Arms Control Agreement signed between Russia and the U.S., both parties are required to notify the other in all cases of such maximum readiness drills occurring, but are not required to state their reasons for doing so. General Maslow states in this report, his concern over this drill is, quote-unquote, heightened due to last month's nuclear attack on the Central Intelligence Agency branch of the Intercontinental Military Tunnel Complex between Washington, D.C. and Denver. They're referring to the earthquake that was felt almost 1,000 miles all around, and we'll talk about that a little later in the show. I got a really good article about that. The quote-unquote earthquake in Virginia, which many are reporting was two nuclear explosions, one in Virginia and one also in Colorado, at the depths of only 500 feet, which earthquakes cannot really shift that high, and I'll get into that later on in this article. That's what they're referring to in this, and they're saying that this is just a readiness plan for the entire United States to take part in. So it's important to note that this is shortly after the September 11th attacks. It's also after the Bush regime, when he was in office, also moved to completely militarize the CIA by placing its director, former U.S. Air Force General Michael Hayden, who served in the capacity until February 2009, when Obama then put in place the former U.S. Army intelligence officer, Leon Panetta, to run the most powerful of spy agencies. After Panetta, Obama put America's top general, David Petraeus, in charge of the CIA barely a week after the aforementioned nuclear attack upon it. The fears of both the Bush and Obama regimes regarding the CIA were due to their complacency in the September 11th attacks upon America, utilizing their al-Qaeda terror network headed by their man Aset Osama bin Laden, otherwise known by his codename of Tim Osam. That was run jointly with Pakistan's head directors of intelligence and also funded by the Saudi royal family. Very interesting article. Definitely check this out. Also very interesting, an article that came up yesterday by NASA. This was announced for the end of the month, another thing for the end of September. Pay attention here, people. End of September, we've been talking about this for weeks now, with the quote-unquote Comet Elenine. NASA warns of fresh risk from a $468 million satellite falling from space. Listen to this. The $750 million upper atmospheric research satellite, launched 20 years ago, that was studying climate, is set to breach the atmosphere within weeks. In a new alert issued this week, officials warned pieces could land in densely populated areas on six continents, including parts of Britain, Europe, North and South America, and Asia. NASA claimed the risk to public safety from the dead satellite, which is orbiting just over 155 miles above the Earth with an inclination of 57 degrees. But senior space agency officials admitted they were concerned about the risk to billions of people when it starts falling uncontrolled out of orbit at any stage later this month. NASA admitted more than half a ton of metal from the space satellite, which ran out of fuel in 2005, will survive as the majority of it will burn up after entering Earth's atmosphere. Scientists estimate the debris footprint will be about 500 miles long, with a 1 in 3,200 chance a satellite could hit someone. While NASA did not know the exact areas it will fall, the projected danger zone has been narrowed to areas between 57 degrees of north and 57 degrees south of the equator. Those are the danger zones. Look on an equator map, see if you're there. These areas cover six continents and billions of people and three oceans. Pay attention. NASA put out a warning. It's possibly a setup for if a comet or something does hit, they'll say it's a satellite. Comet Elenine, we've been talking about it. Google it, YouTube it, check this out. There's huge alignments coming up, October 3rd, October 4th, September 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th, and October 28th. Huge alignments, the biggest alignments that we've ever had with this quote-unquote comet. Also, something going on in the news, not on the news, the mainstream news, that Fox, MSNBC, CNN, not that news. The news that I follow, which you could check out about 20 alternate news sites on my site, Sober Night Life, on StarseedEnergyRadio.com. And this one is Texas drought worsens. The drought in Texas that has fueled wildfires, devastating agriculture, and caused water shortages actually worsened in the past week, while several other states also saw spreading drought, according to a weekly report issued on Thursday. The forecast for 3 months out isn't any better. Texas was told to expect abnormal warm and dry conditions from October to December, thanks to another La Nina weather cycle. So this is talking about the fires that have been blazing in Texas. It has burnt down tens of thousands of acres. And there's also other stories circulating that firemen, and this has been told on the even on the news, I saw a YouTube video, that firemen and firefighters drove from all over the place, all over Texas, and the government has taken over control of fighting the fire. They told several different fire departments to turn around and go home after some of them drove 18 hours straight to rush and help with the forest fires. Something's going on. Texas conditions continue to deteriorate, the U.S. Drought Monitor stated. That was due to drought expanding into the southeast central, south central, Big Bend region, and extreme south around Brownsville. The lack of rain from Tropical Storm Nate last week and better odds of second consecutive La Nina winter only add fuel to this well-fed and entrenched drought. Now, there's also other states that are also being affected by this. Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas, as well as parts of areas along the western Great Lakes. Nearly 97% of Texas is either in an exceptional or extreme drought right now. Texas also suffered the hottest 3 months ever recorded in the United States, according to the National Weather Service. And the 12 months ending in August 31st were the driest 12 months in Texas history. We talk about this week after week. These are the changes, the signs that things are changing. Record-breaking temperatures, snow falling in the summertime. These things are the signs that the Earth is changing, as well as all the earthquakes and volcanic activity that is also going on that you don't hear about in mainstream media. In Texas alone, agriculture losses have topped $5 billion. Record heat has also extended to other states as Arizona, Colorado, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Oklahoma all joined as posting their warmest August ever on record. Several other states are also seeing worsening droughts. Oklahoma, the entire state, is in either severe or extreme exceptional drought. Georgia, 80% of the state is in extreme or exceptional drought. Florida, conditions improve in South Florida, but long-term deficits in low lake levels like Lake Okeechobee and surrounding ecosystem stress, it is still a concern heading into the dry season. South Carolina, drought continues to spread. North Carolina, the central part of the state, saw new drought conditions after being missed by rains from Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. It's funny how these courses change almost immediately as other things happen, which we'll get into in another article in a minute. And the Midwest is also experiencing a extreme drought in the Corn Belt. All these food shortages, extreme droughts, and food shortages that are coming, there's going to be a lot more of them. There is a food shortage now. If you have been paying attention to maybe your local grocery store lately, like I have here, you could see the stock, or at a Costco or places like that, their wheat and grain stock levels are low. These are big red flags that there are, quote-unquote, food rises coming, where prices are going to skyrocket and possibly even really worse than they are food shortages. What's going on with the firefighters being sent home? I don't know. Talking about earthquakes. Earthquakes hit California, Cuba, and Japan. Three separate earthquakes hit California, Cuba, and Japan on Wednesday night and Thursday morning. California's earthquake was a 3.5, which is not that bad. The website for the U.S. Geological Service reports hundreds of people in the area feeling very light shaking. This happened in Los Angeles and Orange County at 2:56 a.m. In northeastern Japan, a preliminary magnitude 6.2 hit the coast, shaking even buildings in Tokyo. There was no threat of a tsunami, no immediate report of injuries, and no damage reported about the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear reactors. Not like you should expect anything reported, because it's Japan, and they usually don't report anything they don't want you to know. In Cuba, Cuba also got shaken up a little bit by a magnitude 6.0 earthquake, hitting the southern coast some 370 miles southeast of Havana at 4:43 a.m. local time. No tsunami warnings. One New York-based blogger had her own explanation for all the trembling these days. Earthquakes happening all around the world. Listen to Mother Nature. People, she is mad. Well, I say a big amen to that, and she is probably right. The rest of the world, the last 7 days, there have also been some immense big earthquakes all over 6.0. We had another big 6.4 in Vancouver Island in Canada, a 6.0 in Vanuatu, a 6.2 in the eastern coast of New Guinea, a 6.1 in the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. We also had a 6.0 east of the North Island of New Zealand and a 7.3 in the Fiji region. I haven't heard about any of these on the mainstream news, but Mother Earth, as the lady quoted in the article, is waking up. Now, talking about the earthquake I mentioned about 10 minutes ago in Virginia, about some of the anomalies, I found an excellent article that talks about the different anomalies that this one person pointed out about the Virginia earthquake. The six anomalies are the location, the unusual shallow depth of only 528 feet, the odd seismograph reading, which did not show any P waves from a nuclear blast. If it was nuclear, there wouldn't be any P waves, and the P waves were not even reading on the seismic reading that they put out to the public, so there was none. A normal earthquake would have had one. Also, the distance felt, which was over 500 miles in every direction. Also, a remarkably low number of aftershocks. It's rare that there was no immediate aftershocks before or after this big earthquake. And also, instantaneously, this event knocked Irene off its course. If you remember, Hurricane Irene was coming up the coast. So all six of these things will be posted in this article as well, and they're pretty interesting. To me, they're common sense, but everyone's left to their own opinion. Check out the article. Also about nuclear reactors, the French nuclear reactor, the MOX plant, that there was a huge explosion on September 12th, has pretty much also been silenced from all mainstream news. I have not heard anything about it since it's happened. I've also been YouTubing stuff, researching, and looking for things, trying to find updated material. The Francis Markula nuclear site explosion, which was identified as being a MOX fuel site, which I've talked about MOX fuel on the show regarding the Fukushima reactor, how dangerous it is. France has claimed it was an industrial explosion and not a nuclear explosion, but who knows? But it happened at a MOX fuel producing part of the nuclear power plant. Okay. It happened at the part of the power plant, but they're saying it's not one. MOX fuel is 2 million times worse than normal radiation. It is plutonium, and I've talked about this before. I believe it's 2 pounds, only 2 pounds of plutonium spread around the Earth's atmosphere is enough to end all life on Earth. 100% grade plutonium, 2 pounds. So not a good thing that there is no news whatsoever from this huge explosion that happened at a French nuclear MOX plant, which is the worst since September the 12th when it happened. A famous quote comes to mind. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's time for some of these leaders to step up and tell the truth, and I can guarantee you the people would probably follow. Right now, every government I've seen all over the planet is in some big Ponzi scheme, bank lie, and it's just getting worse and worse. Unbelievable article coming out from here in the U.S. Tased from above, new robotic copters to begin patrolling our skies. Check this article out. The new Shadowhawk is a 7-foot, 50-pound copter that is a toy-sized dealer of destruction from Texas-based Vanguard Defense Industries. The copter is a result of 3 years of development. If being tased from above sounds frightening to you, I suggest you cease all criminal activities now. There's a good chance Shadowhawk's spine-tingling buzz could be heard approaching a city near you. As a sign of new law enforcement tactics to come, the Sheriff's Office of Montgomery County, Texas, was recently awarded a grant by the Department of Homeland Security for a squadron of Shadowhawks. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office was psyched by saying, "We are very excited about the funding and look forward to placing the equipment into the field." Both by narcotics and SWAT units have been looking at numerous ways to deploy it, and I absolutely believe it will become a critical component on all SWAT callouts and narcotics raids and emergency management systems. This thing can also shoot a 12-gauge shotgun, and believe it or not, it could also be fitted to have a grenade launcher. So the Texas Sheriff's Department has a squadron of these on order. Not cool. And this is not the only county that is getting these things. Robotic helicopters shooting shotguns or tasers or grenade launchers from above. What is going on? What is going on? The Washington Post, Obama's green jobs cost $5 million each. Everyone remembers Obama's big green jobs thing. The $38.6 billion loan guarantee program has created a whopping 3,545 jobs, permanent jobs, which if you do the math, equals to $5 million per job it costs for a job. Way to go. Also, Obama's team, Obama's Cold War, Raytheon missiles on Russia's border by 2018. This is an article I read this morning. We'll definitely post this one because I've been talking about this a lot. We've been doing a lot of things lately, in the last month or so, to really piss off China. This is one of them. Starting as early as next March, the U.S. will be setting up interballistic missiles on the Russian border. Not good. The move prompted the Soviet Union to build missile bases also in Cuba, similar to when this happened back in the Cuban Missile Crisis. It seems like it might be happening again. This time, President Barack Obama will bring new missiles even closer than the Turkey base had it. The U.S. will set up a new Raytheon 3 missile defense system in Poland, roughly 50 miles from the Russian border. A Russian spokesman at the Foreign Ministry said his government was not pleased to hear about this and the U.S. military decision for permanent base missiles. This could start as early as next March. We also, a few weeks ago, sent our brand new fleet of stealth warships to the Chinese Sea. Something's going on. Russia and China do not like what we're doing in the Middle East, and something is brewing. Pay attention to this stuff. Obama attacks nutrition. Why would someone benefit from such a regulation, listen to this, of the natural supplement industry? Who would benefit from this article? Big pharma, big pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies that have a long record of putting forth FDA-approved medications that later proved to be lethal are looking to use the regulatory powers of FDA to literally increase levels of illness. In the same way Obamacare has been demonstrated to not only be unconstitutional, but also a threat to the health of millions, especially senior citizens, this calls administration now threatens to remove from the shelves of stores that sell nutritional supplements, from pharmacies and from supermarkets and other outlets, the vitamins, minerals, and herbal supplements on which millions depend on. They're trying to ban, they're pushing through to try to ban the sale of herbal and vitamin supplements, herbal supplements, minerals, and vitamins. What is going on? Another interesting article. Pentagon vaccine stops religious fundamentalism by targeting the God gene. The Pentagon may vaccinate large populations of the Middle East with what is being called the FunVax, a fundamentalist vaccine. As explained by the Pentagon researchers, the FunVax uses an airborne virus to indiscriminately infect populations considered high risk for religious fundamentalism. The virus in this vaccine purportedly has been tested and shown to reduce fundamentalism and religiosity in all who are infected by damaging what is called the God gene. Who gave us the right to come up with a FunVax to populate anybody or try to stop their fundamentalism for their thinking? This is crazy. This is crazy. So who gets to decide who's a fundamentalist? What, all of Iran's a fundamentalist? Meanwhile, a fun fact for you is, you know who has the largest and most NA meetings in the world, Narcotics Anonymous? Iran. They have over 10,000 a month. That's right. There's regular people like you and me in Iran. They're not all bad. True story. Google it. Also, one quick article before we get to Richard's song is California also passes vaccinations without parental consent. The state of California has just passed Bill AB 499, which will permit minor children as young as 12 to get vaccinated with sexually transmitted disease vaccines like Gardasil without parental knowledge or parental consent. California, what is up? Not cool. And these are the things that are getting passed all the time, almost every day. There's so many articles. I wish I could talk about more of them. I have a lot more to talk about, but we will talk about them next week on Star Synergy Radio. With that, I'm going to play a track that Richard did especially for the show, a custom track. And that track is titled Asheville Blessings. The track is 6 minutes long. So what I want you to do before we start the music is sit back, close your eyes, take a deep breath in, blow out. I want you to tune into the music. This is a very, very special piece he did, so I want everyone to just absorb the sound, you know, hear the colors, see the music, and really pay attention to what your body feels and what you feel when you hear this. And after this 6 minute piano track, joining us live on the show will be Richard Shulman. And with that, enjoy this next track. All right, welcome back. And that was Asheville Blessings by Richard Schulman. That was an amazing piece. I feel like a totally different person right now. Excellent. And joining us on the line right now is Richard Schulman, composer, pianist, and recording artist with over 24 recorded albums. RichHartMusic.com is his website. Definitely check it out. Richard, are you with us?
I am here, Jonah. You know, that piece did the same thing to me. When I created them, I guess it was yesterday, for you, I did a number of pieces, and that was the last one. I did like four pieces, and that was the last one I did. And the energy just came in on that one, and afterwards, I was trying to listen to it, and I kept falling asleep as
wow.
I was listening. So there's something in that blessing, in that music.
And absolutely. I feel it still now. And thank you again for coming on the show and for recording that for all of us and for the world and sending that vibration out. Thank you again. That was amazing.
It's my pleasure, my joy.
Now, going back, let's start off where you originally went to New York City. And you found yourself sort of like on, I guess you would say, a spiritual journey, and you began playing for meditation healing groups there. When was your first inclination that you were going towards a spiritual journey? When was, like, your, say, awakening?
Well, there were pieces of it all along, and they came out of my own angst. I remember back when I lived in Buffalo in the 70s, I had gone out with this woman, and then all of a sudden she decided to go out with my roommate. So I went through angst around that, and I wrote this song called Rise Above It. And, you know, it was kind of a pretty intense song, but
sure. There
was part of me that wanted to get past the usual kind of intensity of feeling sorry for myself, that kind of thing. So that was kind of the beginning. I found that when I played music, I would feel better, and it would help me, and it would help other people. So what happened in New York was I met a teacher named Hilda Charlton, and the timing of that was really apropos, because I was in a kind of a difficult spot emotionally, and so I went to the class, and all of a sudden I realized that she was operating from a very different consciousness than I was. And so I asked God, would you show me a sign that this is real? And I got a sign that meant something, meant a lot to me, kind of a jaw-dropping sign. And that said, so I said, okay, Hilda, I'm going to study with you. And and being in that commitment to my spiritual growth, many, many different miracles happened over the course of time. And so I learned with Hilda and another teacher named Ron Young how to convey what I was learning in terms of consciousness into music and through music. Mm. And so there were about 5 years there where I was in that very much, very intensive study of meditation and life in that way under these teachers. And then after that, I went to Assisi, Italy, and got in touch with the vibration of St. Francis and St. Clara of Assisi. And there have been just many teachers and masters that I've had the great opportunity to meet or to study with or to be in their vibration. Obviously, St. Francis isn't in a body right now, but the whole town of Assisi is imbued with his vibration. And so it's just going into that town, you feel this tremendous vibration of unconditional love and just divine grace.
Yeah, I've looked over your bio, and it's quite extensive, and that's one thing that I sort of look up to the people like yourself and most of my guests on the show is you guys have sort of been in the light for so long, have had so many beautiful, wonderful experiences, and, you know, like you said, you had 5 years to meditate, and I find that, like, people like myself and other newly awakened people, I would say, in the last year or so, it's sort of like crunch time from us, and that's why I love interviewing people like you and just getting, like, the basics, like, when was your awakening, what, you know, because it's the simplicity that I find that is really what catapults your awakening, is just by taking it step by step and just learning from you guys, because you guys have been holding light for so long. And it's amazing to hear all these wonderful, if you check out Richard's website, all these different, you know, things that he's done. One of them I want to specifically talk about is your first recording where you incorporated some of the meditative styles that you were doing, and you did a solo piano album, World Peace, and that was recorded on the 40th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Now, this music that you create is for healing and alignment, so my question is, did you specifically do it on that date because you were bringing in or harnessing some sort of energies for that?
What happened, it was a setup. This guy, Ron Young, that I told you about, he said, you should do a solo piano album. And up till then, I'd only done jazz, you know, a couple of albums with my jazz group, and which I do still do jazz. And what happened was the studio that I called was available on August 5th and 6th, and that translates to across the world, you know, to that same date where anniversary of the bombing. And I was figuring, am I going to do a jazz solo album or am I going to do something else? What am I going to do? And I had this other studio that also wanted me to work with them, and they had given me the day before as the August 4th. And so I realized, well, why don't I just do both? I'll do my jazz album on August 4th at this other studio. Then I go to the studio that was available on the 5th and 6th, and I said, I'm just going to devote this album to peace and to world peace. And it's like the universe gave me these hints, like somebody had invited me on the 5th to be part of a meditation. And then on the 6th, then I was invited to play as part of this, like a whole peace rally. And so between those two things, I kind of got the hint, was like, well, maybe I should take this schedule this time in the studio and, like, just devote it to world peace, because that's what these other two events were. And it's like, wow, I can just create a whole album for that purpose. So
it was sort of, it was obviously a synchronicity that was a big, meaningful synchronicity that you probably figured out later on after the fact.
Well, yeah, I guess I did put all the pieces together later, but I think just there were enough pieces together so that I made the decision to make this my first spontaneous album, and you know, it was the first album that was totally improvised, and course, I've done many since then, but that was my initiation into that realm of recording.
And some of the later albums that, like you just mentioned, just to give a couple names, you have A Higher Dimension, Light Music, Music for Magnified Healing,
right.
Sacred Music for Healing Hands, Volumes 1 and 2, and you have The Light from Assisi, and Transformation in Assisi, and that's where you're talking about in Italy, where you obviously went through a transformation because you did an album dedicated to that.
Right. I wanted to say it was a good album, that World Peace album, but 3 years later, I booked the same studio for another solo album, and that was A Higher Dimension. And that was the first album that I did because I'd been doing this kind of meditative piano work for 3 years then. And so that album was the first one I said, if I die tomorrow, I've accomplished something in my life. So, and there's another album that is related to World Peace, which I did at the Light Center in Black Mountain, called Music of Peace. And it's kind of like, I was always going to do a second volume of World Peace, and never did it for 21 years. And then, so 21 years later, it was time. Somebody suggested that I record the kind of music that I was doing at the Light Center, because I do concerts there periodically.
And the Light Center is here in Black Mountain, and that's where I originally had saw you, and it's a very, very magical place. So what an awesome place to record an album than at the Light Center. That must have been – the energy there must have been right on the money. It's an amazing place to be. And you also have an event coming up there, which we'll talk about before the end of the interview. Now, okay. when you have all these different albums of music, and like you said yesterday, you're just composing pieces – they obviously sort of flow to you. Would you consider it like you're channeling these frequencies?
Some people would call it channeling, but it's not trance channeling. In other words, I ask, it's like ask and ye shall receive. So I ask for music for the highest good for a particular situation. So in the case of this piece which you just heard, I ask for music for the highest good as a blessing for Asheville. And so that was what came. What happens is I listen, and then as I start to hear music, then I play what I hear. I don't necessarily, I don't like leave. I'm still there playing the piano. So
it just sort of flows right into you, and you just sort of duplicate what is the music that's flowing into your consciousness.
And then there is a place where you're in the midst of it, and it's like there's no longer a difference between the flow of the music and who I think I am. It's just kind of like it becomes one flow.
Mm. Now, talking about the Conscious Shift 2012, we talk about that a lot on the show, obviously. What is your take on 2012, on what's happening, what's going to happen with the whole shift of the consciousness on the planet?
Well, my sense is that the energies are getting stronger and stronger, and which basically means our stuff is coming up, and so we can either be in our stuff or get out of our stuff as fast as possible and be in the vibration of the miracle mind. And so that's kind of how I see it. I know different people have said, oh, it's supposed to be as early as this October 28th, or it's supposed to be December of 2012. You know, frankly, I'm sure, and I'm sure the 11-11-11 is going to be a very powerful time. But I don't have an opinion on dates. I'm just doing my best to weed my own garden, so to speak.
Gotcha.
And try and stay in a, as high a consciousness as I can, which sometimes doesn't feel very high, but, you know, it's like you just I just keep doing the work and keep remembering the divine beyond the stories that my mind makes up.
Excellent. And with that, let's talk about the next week's event here in Black Mountain. It's for the fall equinox, and you're also going to be performing earlier at the International Day of Peace here in Asheville in downtown Pack Square, which is also going to be another amazing event. But what the fall equinox, give every all the listeners and everyone some information about that, what time and what's going on that evening.
Okay. Well, I believe for the International Day of Peace, I'm playing at 5:30. Is that correct?
Correct, yep.
And then over at the Light Center in Black Mountain, we are starting at 7:30. That's Wednesday the 21st. And that's like coming right up, isn't it?
That's it. 5 days.
So we're starting at 7:30. There is a charge at the door, which is $15, and we're going to start. I'm doing this with two friends of mine. One is D.L. Ciesco, and the other is known as Beloved. And Beloved is going to be doing some crystal healing bowls, and she is also excellent in terms of organizing ceremony. We're going to have a special blessing where people are going to write a blessing down and then put it in a cornucopia, and then people will pick out their blessing at the end. And DL is going, she does wonderful toning work, and she's going to be working with the tones of what is called the scale of love, which is similar to a major scale and similar to a minor scale, but it's just a very interesting, almost a Middle Eastern kind of a sound.
Excellent.
And I'll be doing a piano improvisation for inner peace and for the equinox, and then we're going to be doing a second musical prayer for the world, but we're going to be including feedback and thoughts and prayers from the audience. So it's going to be an interactive evening. And
that sounds great.
There's going to be some songs. It's going to be a great evening.
That's awesome, and I will be there. And with that, you could also check out some more information, which I also have on the event at starseedenergyradio.com. And, of course, Richard's site is richheartmusic.com. And with that, Richard, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I will see you in a couple days.
It's my great pleasure, Jonah.
I'll speak to you soon. And with that, here's your next track.
Since you've been away,
All right, welcome back. That's Starseed Energy Radio for you. Awesome interview, awesome news articles. Check it out on the website. Joining us next week is also DL, who's going to be in the Fall Equinox with Richard, coming up on the 23rd. And after that, we have Dale Allen Hoffman coming up on the 30th, daleallenhoffman.com. With that, Star fam, love light, spread truth. I will see you all next week. Enjoy your last track from Danny Taneglia's album, Back to Basics.